Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters, everybody. And first off, we want to get to a couple of things of real importance here. Tonight we have a lot to talk about. But before we do, first off, this show tonight is dedicated to Fred Sauer, a great colleague of all of ours in Houston, obviously an icon in media in Houston as well, and I've seen a lot of the testimony coming in about Fred, which says a lot about Fred's character and willingness to help other people and all of his talents. So tonight's show dedicated to Fred Sauer, and I do want to tell you a little story about Fred, and this is a testament to him and his vision. Fred was the sports editor at the Houston Chronicle in the 90s, when I had a soccer column there. Fred actually took it to a second column. And at that point, was giving people in Houston two columns a week, which was amazing for the sport at the time. And I realized that Fred had realized that, looking out, that not only was soccer important then in the 90s, but it was going to get even more important. And there was a need to cover it because there are people who are going to want to hear about it. So little known fact about Fred Sauer: when he was the sports editor at the Houston Chronicle. So that's a nice thing to know. All right. Also, Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic, big shout out to a guy that has really carried a good load in our Houston soccer community, is Olivier Finidori. He used to play for the Houston Hotshots Indoor at the Summit back in the day. He's the coaching director and the technical director of Dynamo's soccer club out in Cypress area. We had another Kick Cancer clinic this weekend, raised over $1,500. That'll go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. But, he carried this. His staff helped to carry this. We really appreciate that. We appreciate Capelli donating free T-shirts as well. All right, let's get after some soccer talk here tonight. What a weekend for American players in Europe. Americans are scoring goals. They're determining outcomes of games. I got a lot of the details on that tonight. Turkish Superliga, another big black mark with fan behavior there in the Fenerbahce-Trabzonspor match. Barcelona, great week for Barcelona. Not only doing it and getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but they also get a big win in La Liga over Atletico Madrid. FA Cup thriller quarterfinal between Manchester United and Liverpool, 7-goal thriller. We'll talk about that. Dynamo get their first win of 2024 in MLS over the Portland Timbers, and the Houston Dash stumbling out of the blocks 5-1 against North Carolina as they head into their home opener. By the way, you're going to hear things about the Dash tonight you don't normally hear anywhere in Houston. First off, I would just say, when you're implementing a new system, before we talk into them and do a little bit on them, implementing a new system takes time. So we'll put this all in context for you. 713-780-3776 is the number to call tonight. 713-780-3776. Let's get your opinions. Dash fans, this is your shot. You got it on the weekend. Dynamo fans, your shot tonight. Can't miss interview with cancer survivor Ethan Hughes as well tonight. That'll uplift you. If you want to be uplifted, you want to listen to this young man. And again, tonight's show dedicated to Fred Sauer. All right, Guillermo, do we have sound available now?
Yes, we have sound, but everything is going a little bit slow, so every time you call for something, it'll be a couple seconds delay.
All right, so let's start off with American goal scorers. We're having a few technical bugs here, just for full disclosure. Let's start off with American goal scorers. Let's start off with Ricardo Pepi. Now, he comes off the bench. This is a stoppage time game winner in the Dutch Eredivisie against Twente. The assist comes to a U.S. international, Malik Tillman, as well. Pepe is a bit of a super sub. He's had 7 goals off the bench. They are now 10 points clear of Feyenoord in the Netherlands. But this is a part of the U.S. national team striker pool. Here's the goal from Ricardo Pepe. Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. So Pepe had that goal. Christian Pulisic is scoring in the 4th straight match for him. He's got 4 and 4 matches now. He's on 12 goals. It's the best single season goal scoring he's had with AC Milan. And then you had Haji Wright in the 100th minute for Coventry City, 3-2 victory over Wolves. That's now 15 in all competitions for Haji Wright. So these are all U.S. internationals here. Haji Wright has now been called up to the U.S. national team. We'll get into that in a second, but he's brought into the team. Josh Sargent, Luca De La Torre go out with injury, and Brendan Aaronson and Haji Wright come into the national team camp ahead of their game on Thursday against Jamaica. That's the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals. The other one is Panama and Coco Carrasquilla taking on Mexico. So you got some big games on Thursday night. Those are really interesting for us, not only as national team fans of whatever country you're pulling for, but also from the standpoint of locally here, we got Coco Carrasquilla at AT&T Stadium taking on Mexico, which is one of real, real interest, I think, for all of us. And then, you know, we have all these goal scorers making it happen that are U.S. internationals in Europe. And, you know, I was on the State of the Union today with Alexi Lalas on Fox. We taped a show. I don't know when it airs. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, through my lens, being a little bit older, you can go back to a time period where players were sent over to train with teams in Europe. And, you know, they weren't necessarily over there making teams and becoming determining factors and game changers, scoring goals in games. I mean, this is a remarkable time for U.S. soccer right now. And depending your age group, it's even more remarkable the farther back you go for someone like me to see so many of these wonderful players performing in high, intense pressure environments and producing goals. So it's really happy. I was actually sent to Sheffield United in England, which was a phenomenal experience. But, yeah, so I think that's something really to keep an eye on. So we do have those semifinals again. It'll be Mexico, Panama, and it'll be the United States and Jamaica. We'll see if Jamaica gives the U.S. a game. I would imagine that they would, but the U.S. will be the heavy favorites in that game, and Mexico will be the favorites likely over Panama. FA Cup semifinals are set. The only lower division team is Coventry, who got a dramatic win on a Haji Wright goal. They will take on Manchester United, and then it'll be Manchester City and Chelsea. So let's go to United's game against Liverpool. I mean, this was a 4-3 over Liverpool, Manchester United quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Absolute roller coaster of drama and emotion from two of the world's biggest clubs, if you watch that. Again, 713-780-3776 if you want to call into the show. So let's go. Okay, so sound is working now, Guillermo?
Yes, it should be working now.
Okay, let's go to the 10th minute. Scott McTominay starts it off for Manchester United to get the 1-0 lead.
I don't have all of the goals of that game. I just have the last two goals.
Okay, so let me just take you through the goal scoring. Jeez. 10th minute, McTominay, United, it's 1-0. Liverpool tied up in the 44th. This was the drama in the up and down of the FA Cup. It's 1-1. Mo Salah in stoppage time. So now it's 2-1 Liverpool going into the locker room. Manchester United thought they had played a very good half in this one. 87th minute, if there was ever a guy who needed a goal, it was Anthony. He got the equalizer. That made it 2-2. And then we go to extra time, and I do believe we have this sound, correct? In the 105th minute?
I have
Elliot for Liverpool.
I have the Marcus Rashford goal and the Diallo goal.
So Elliot for Liverpool makes it 3-2, and then Marcus Rashford would tie it up with this dramatic goal. Here's what it sounded like.
McTominay. Rashford! Level again! And this topsy-turvy classic of a heavyweight cup quarterfinal takes another telling twist.
So that makes it 3-3, and then an unlikely source wins it. United loan player that is back, Amad Diallo, scores the game-winning goal, 120 plus one.
One last sortie. Two against one in Manchester United's favour. It's Diallo. And Diallo has won it! Manchester United are heading for the FA Cup semi-finals.
So Diallo with a huge moment there, tore his jersey off, got sent off for a second yellow, tossed his jersey in the crowd, ran into the locker room. I think what we're seeing here, though, is players like Garnacho, Ahmad, Mino, these are the future of Manchester United. They've given this team a huge burst. Here's the manager, Erik ten Hag.
Are great characters and really determination. We have seen today again, and not for the first time. But if you oversee this season, we have had so many setbacks all the time. I have players dropping out, and every time we have to adapt. Also, yesterday, and Johnny Evans, last minute of the training, he dropped out. And then we have to adjust to bring a player in who didn't train, didn't play for 4 or 5 weeks. And he had only 1-2 training sessions with the team. And then he came in, and Asa, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, was playing so well. But yeah, the team adjusted also.
So that was Erik ten Hag, and a lot of people are going to position this now as an opportunity here to platform United. You're seeing that already. This is a platform game. Things are going to get better for United because of this, improved confidence, all of that. 11 shots on goal for each team, 28 shots for Manchester United. Remember, that includes 30 minutes of extra time, 26 for Liverpool, 23 overall fouls, which is kind of a low number based on the amount of soccer they played. 5 corners for United, 8 for Liverpool, 43% of the ball possession for United, 57% for Liverpool. And here is Jurgen Klopp. Klopp talking about Liverpool post-match FA Cup. Got a little bit testy as well.
Then we are nearly there in normal time. Then we are nearly there in extra time, and then we lose the game. That's all right. I cannot ask the boys for more. So obviously we have a much more intense season so far. I think everybody knows that. It's not we just have to count the games. And today it was hard. It was hard, you know, because United's quality took a lot of risk. Absolutely respect that. Congratulations to United for going to the semi-final. There was a time when they played 1v1 in the back. We should have used that better, but that's the problem. And the longer the game goes, the decision-making doesn't get better.
So that was Jurgen Klopp as the manager of Liverpool after that. We're going to take a break here. Copa America, June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica. June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay. July 4th is the quarterfinal. One great place to watch that would be over at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Daily specials, whiskey and beer offerings, great traditional English pub food, bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie. Say hello to Goose and David. The place is absolutely pristine. So you want to go into a pub that's clean and you get a great sense in there. Of cleanliness and sharpness. It's dark woods, great pictures of the Guinness Brewery in Ireland. Great spot for all your sports watching. Home of the Houston Liverpool supporters group. That's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We'll take a break. Break is brought to you by Cactus Music and my friend Quinn. Get over to Cactus Music for the best in vinyl selection. All right. Houston Dash tickets tonight. We got a lot more to talk about when we come back. Dynamo Dash will continue with international soccer as well. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm.
You You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we continue on tonight. By the way, you can get the podcast of the show at Spotify, Apple, and Google. Subscribe over there. Also, don't forget to hit our YouTube page and YouTube Soccer Matters. We did pre- and post-game for the Houston Dynamo in the last game. We had a lot of great engagement. We're trying to grow that. So if you're Dynamo fans and you enjoyed the pre- and post-game, subscribe and let's build this thing up. And keep it going. Quick mention here for Fred Fowler, by the way. They have a GoFundMe set up for Fred, so that's for his funeral expenses. So if you can get over there and you can donate, you can help out and take the pressure off the family of Fred. And I'm sure Fred himself would appreciate that as well. All right, 713-780-3776. The number to call here tonight. I mentioned to you the Copa America is coming here in June, lsse.net. That's where you go for tickets, all the information you need. June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica. June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay. And then the 4th of July is a quarterfinal. So, I mean, we got major, major international content coming to Houston, which pretty remarkable stuff right there. No question about that. Little note on Wednesday. Wednesday's show will have Ethan Bartlow of the Houston Dynamo. Had an excellent game. Against Portland, filling in for Eric Svietchenko, and Diana Ordonez of the Houston Dash joining as well. So let's talk a little bit about the Houston Dynamo victory, a 1-0 victory in a game that is kind of a grind-em-out game. The Dynamo relying on good collective defending in this one. Got a little bit of a scare early on, I think, from Portland. Portland could easily have scored the first few minutes, if not for a monster save from Steve Clark. Denayen Paredes pushed it off the crossbar after Santiago Moreno got in behind. I do believe we have the Dynamo goal call, but we'll get to that in a minute. So this was, you know, this was a really needed win. I mean, there was real emotion at the end of this one from Ben Olsen, the head coach, because the team needed a good, solid win in MLS. It was their third MLS game, and they needed a win at home in front of the home fans. And they did get it. The most dangerous man on the night for the Houston Dynamo was Aliyu Ibrahim. He picked up his second of the year. I think I mentioned on the broadcast or post game that I think this is a 10-goal season for him. He's been the Dynamo's most dangerous threat from a wide position. Allows you to hit those long diagonals. But he also had a moment where he cut inside in the box and then turned into a center forward and quickly turned and hit one off the post. But here's the game-winning goal. This game-winning goal, the architect of this, though, is Coco Carrasquilla, who hits an outside of the football that basically puts a defender and a goalkeeper in two minds. Crapo comes for it. The defender, Mosquera, sticks a leg in there. It's a mistake. It's pounced on by Aliyu. Here's what it sounded like.
Dorsey, Bossy, Coco. What a ball from Coco Carrasquilla. There it is. Aliyu has scored his second in MLS this year. Well, the answer to that question is, can they get something out of this great ball possession? Yes, they can.
So, fantastic goal. Good for him. It's real confidence, I think, for Aliyu right now. The good news is Sebas Ferreira may be coming back, so things are looking up. Ben Olsen mentioning that he could be back and possibly even be on the bench in Colorado this weekend. Now, the Dynamo go to the Colorado Rapids. They'll be playing at altitude on the road in that one. So a couple of mentions in this game. Steve Clark obviously making the very timely save. The position, you well, if that goes in the beginning of this game, there's no telling. Very athletic Portland, very dangerous front four. I thought Jan Gregus had an excellent game. Very quietly because of the way he plays, but linked a lot of play up, played very well positionally. I think his best game in a Dynamo uniform, no doubt about it. Him and Artur working off each other well in the absence of Hector Herrera. We mentioned Aliyu. I think he made the team of the week maybe in Major League Soccer. or the match day team of the week. But I like what Ali is doing so far. I think he's the most consistent, dangerous threat for the Dynamo right now. You had Griffin Dorsey powering up that right side. And then Coco Karaskia kind of taking the playmaking reins in this one. He had 9 shots total. I think only maybe 3 or 4 on goal. These are small and slim margins. I think the Dynamo got into the attacking third well, but it's the same old story of trying to get clear chances. Yes, you can win games 1-0. There's no doubt about it. You can win games with limited chances. I just don't know if you could do another complete season like you did last year. You got to find some multi-goal games at some point. So good win for the Dynamo. Exciting. Good night out there. If you were out there, you enjoyed it. I certainly did on the call. And that we're going to continue to do the pre- and post-game shows on YouTube Soccer Matters. So join us there. And by the way, be aware of the social this week, Twitter, at Soccer Matters GD, at Glenn Davis Soc. We're going to put out a 4-pack and tickets for the Houston Dash opener this weekend. They will take on Racing Louisville in their opener. Now, speaking of the Dash, 5-1 loss. Okay, so I see people, oh, we were so much better last year. Well, you didn't make the playoffs last year, so easy on that one. You have a brand-new coach in Fran Alonso. Okay, last year's team was a counterattacking team. He's changing this to a pressing and a proactive game, 180 degrees. I actually thought that was what we were supposed to be doing last year, but it turned into a counterattacking team. In the end, it was a great defensive team. In fact, it was the best defensive team last year in NWSL, but it couldn't score goals. And it didn't get, in my opinion, Maria Sanchez and enough service to Diana Ordonez. We had Maria Sanchez in the middle third of the field doing tricks and flicks, but she never got around goal enough over the course of the entire 2023 season. So, first off, to implement this new system, which is a total change in thought process and behavior for players, turning it into a pressing game and a repressing game under the new Spanish coach, Fran Alonso, this is going to take time. Yes, there was some looseness in this first game, but you really have to give it a chance. It's hard to reprogram a thought process into playing a pressing game and trying to create chances off forcing an opponent to turn the ball over. So keep an eye on that, I would think. The North Carolina Courage also, I think, really for two-thirds of this game dominated midfield. I mean, they cut through the lines of the Dash so easily in this. The amount of times you saw the Houston Dash turned and running back towards their own goal was a sign that they were being breached way too easy. And you don't always just put that on the midfield. You put that on your first line of pressure, which is your attacking players. And then you have your second line, which is your midfield. So it's a collective thing, tough game. You quickly have a home opener. You can reverse it. The good news is you turn around and play again. But whenever you see a team that is turned and running back towards your own goal, you know they're being breached. And lines are being broken, and I think that was really obvious in this game. I watched it today so that I could make some decent comments about it. And it was a lot of defending for a lot of the night, and North Carolina is an excellent team, played very well in this one. They also were missing some players. I think you saw Maria Sanchez overworked defensively. And, you know, a lot of the success of this will be implementing a press and a repress. And that means winning the ball in good areas so that it leads to immediate chances. But it's going to take time. So I wouldn't hit the panic button at all, like some people are. I would not hit the panic button. Give the new coach an opportunity to turn things around and produce his ideas with his players. And, you know, you can talk all you want about preseason, but it's the real curtain raiser when it's actual league games that mean something. So we wish the Dash the best of luck on the weekend, and we'll get some of those tickets out for the Dash Racing Louisville on social media this week. A little bit difficult tonight. We're calling this off a phone, so we've had some problems here, which we'll get corrected for the next show. I don't think there's any question that'll happen. All right, so let's talk about a few other things. I want to go to the Barcelona week. I mean, obviously, they get past Napoli in the Champions League, and then they get past Atletico Madrid 3-0 at the Metropolitano in Madrid. Big win, big week for Barcelona. 38th minute, Joao Felix scoring. 47th, Robert Lewandowski. Lewandowski turned playmaker in this game, was excellent. 65th, Firmin. Atleti had 3 shots on goal, Barcelona 5, talking about limited shots. 13 shots overall for Atleti, 9 for Barca, 24 total fouls, 7 corners for Atleti, 3 for Barcelona. Antoine Griezmann only played 45 minutes in this. 43% possession, typical for Atletico Madrid, and Barcelona had 57%. So that's the way that one went. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. Barcelona's off the pace in La Liga for the title, but boy, what a week for them. You dispose of Napoli, you dispose of Atleti. It's pretty good. I don't know if anybody watched the Fenerbahce-Trabzonspor match, but there is this weird thing with Trabzonspor and Fenerbahce, and there's always some sort of stupidity and violence and things that occurs during a Fenerbahce-Trabzonspor game, especially when it's at Trabzonspor. Fans invaded the field. 12 people were detained by the Turkish police. These guys are all on camera. They're caught. They're complete idiots. I don't know if you saw, though. So, Batshuayi, who had the game-winning goal in this 3-2 game, a guy ran at him. He does this spinning Bruce Lee kick and catches the guy right in the head and absolutely drops him. Fred had 2 goals in this. There was another picture of a Fenerbahce player pounding a Trabzonspor idiot who ran on the field. I mean, they get what they deserve, and I hope they get jailed, and I hope they get banned. The behavior of people, pretty stunning. You know, that's after a couple weeks ago or a month ago, a referee got attacked and hospitalized in Turkey. So there's some black marks on the Turkish Superliga, sadly. A lot of talented players over there, a lot of teams with great history, but in the news in a bad way. Now, I do want to go to some Ben Olsen sound. I think we can pull that off, right, Guillermo?
Yeah, we got the Ben Olsen sound.
All right, so let's start off with this first soundbite from Ben Olsen, and this is after the Dynamo 1-0 victory over the Portland Timbers.
Let me start by saying Coco. You know, one of the things we kind of push on Coco is about delivering a final ball or really putting up numbers, whether it's goals and assists. And I give him an assist for that, and he's been, I think, one of our best players. And other than Ibra, from a production standpoint, It's nice to see Coco playing at the level he has in a response from his last game. So that was great. Ibra is, you know, you need somebody that's hot. You know, he's earned these. He's, you know, staying alive. You know, we asked him, especially the way we play with Amin now, it's kind of a false nine. It's important for him to find himself in the box and be available to score goals, because sometimes our overloads happen somewhere else, and we need bodies in the box, and he's been able to do that. You know, other than that, he had some good moments. He had some moments that we need to continue to work on with him and keep in possession and coming out the other way for higher percentage opportunities to allow our forwards to then come back into the play so we can even have more numbers in the box. So, again, a lot to work on, but Coco and Ibra, I thought, were very sharp tonight.
Yeah, so let's talk about Coco Carrasquillo. Last year, you would have heard me on the show as he was playing higher up the field. The end product wasn't there, and everything else was there. Work ethic, professionalism, turning out of pressure, all that. But the end product wasn't there, as Ben Olsen stated. He's withdrawn more. So now he's picking the ball up facing opponents, and that's where the end product can come from. Remember, you now have Bossy and Kowalczyk in a higher position. One of those positions would have been Coco last year. So being withdrawn allows him to play make better, and I think produce the final ball that everybody's wanting from him. And, of course, that's what he does for Panama. He plays slightly deeper. So this has been very successful. in this last game and this year. I think Coco's producing more quality, and he produced some quality in games where goals were called back as well. I think one in on the road maybe, or earlier in the year, maybe in St. Louis. Yeah, it was in St. Louis in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So really enjoying watching him play. He will have to do it against Mexico, and I'm looking forward to watching him do that. Let's get some more from Ben Olsen here.
We got to go to break already.
Okay, I think we're going to hit a break. We're going to come back with Ethan Hughes. For anybody who has been touched by cancer, and I would say that's everybody out there, we either know somebody or affected our family, children. The next interview is one I hope you sit through, because it is highly inspirational. It's a very, very well put together young man who went through a ton of trial and tribulation. His name is Ethan Hughes. He's a friend, but more importantly, he's got an amazing message coming up. We'll take a break here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Again, I want to remind you, Fred Sauer, you can go to the GoFundMe there to help pay for his funeral expenses, and tonight's show dedicated to Fred. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Ethan Hughes is up next.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here, and I want to remind everybody the show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, and tonight we dedicate this show to Fred Fauer, a great colleague, friend, and also a media icon here in Houston. Fred recently passed, and we're all missing him dearly. Tickets for the 2024 Copa America on sale now. You've got this summer's biggest international soccer event right here in Houston. It returns to the United States. It's been at Energy Stadium before. We have three matches right here in the H. This is like a prep for World Cup 2026, frankly. You got Mexico, Jamaica. You got Colombia, Paraguay in June. And then in July, you potentially can get, if Argentina wins their group, you'll get the FIFA World Cup winner and Lionel Messi here to take on the runner-up of Mexico's group. And this could be epic in a quarterfinal match. That would be July 4th. So don't miss it. Get tickets, suites, parking, more details, all matches, and the matchups and information at LSSE.net. That's LSSE.net. Great work from them over there. Helping not only secure and bring this event here, but also to get this out to the public. So thank you to Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. And, man, we cannot wait for the Copa America. All right, our final segment here, a young man that I've gotten to know. I consider him a friend, but like everyone, we are all touched by cancer. You must listen to this interview. This is a young man that beat it. Here is Ethan Hughes.
Ethan Hughes was diagnosed with leukemia at age 16, 9 months of intense chemo, 2 years of maintenance chemo, all kinds of complications, stroke, seizure, paralysis. Imagine this as a 16-year-old. He credits his faith and perseverance. He's now 22. He's newly married to his beautiful wife, Kylie, and he's a highly, he's an amateur motocross competitor and got to the national championships. So this is an incredibly well-rounded young man. Ethan joins us now. Ethan, thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, thank you. It's always a privilege to talk to you, and it's amazing being on the show.
Well, I know your passion for motocross, but take me back to 16 years of age. You get diagnosed. I can only wonder what's going through a young man's mind, a teenager.
Yeah, and so I think I'm going to start with the diagnosis process. Was just such a long process of just trying to figure out what I had. It was probably 3 months there before I officially knew that I had leukemia. And I mean, that was a revolving door of going through doctor's offices, just trying to, I was misdiagnosed by a ton of different doctors. Some people were like, oh, just keep on taking Tylenol, the pain will go away. And then sometimes they're like, no, maybe it's like tennis elbow. Cause essentially I was having bone pain, a lot of bone pain. Cause leukemia is a blood cancer. And so it's produced in where the blood marrow is, where the blood is produced. So I was just having a ton of bone pain and I had zero energy. I couldn't even get out of bed. And that's just not me. I'm always a go-getter. And I knew something was just more wrong than what these doctors were telling me. I was actually misdiagnosed with bone cancer. Initially, they gave me 5 years to live. That changes your perspective on a lot of different things. And then we finally did the full biopsy on my bone, and they actually found out, hey, you have leukemia, which at the moment we were a little excited because it was definitely better than the outlook of bone cancer. But at the same point, we're like, all right, we have this long, around 3.5 year journey that we're just going to have to just persevere and fight through. And it was tough because I was 16. I was at the peak of my athleticism. I was racing motocross. I was enjoying life. And then bam, here it is. And what was I supposed to do? I only did one day at my high school for junior year. And then it's like everything's been wiped out. And I was like, you know what? I can make two decisions here. Either I can, you know, put my head down and focus and be like, all right, this is not going to change my attitude. Or I could just kind of give up and be like, well, this was a good run. I chose the first option. And I think that really fared well, because I think mentally having a strong, you know, mental capacity and then being like, okay, this is going to be conquered. We can do this. I think that just helps your overall body and how you do. And my faith with the Lord has just helped me so much with that too, just constantly praying and just relying on Him and just knowing that Jesus loves has me too. So yeah, it was absolutely crazy time, and I'm glad that the conquering has been done.
Ethan Hughes joining us. He's 22 years of age, just got married, was diagnosed with leukemia at age 16. Ethan, obviously your faith plays a big part in this. How about the support system of family and all when going through this? I mean, what does that mean to you? Because, you know, there's a lot of lonely moments there. It's you and your thoughts, right?
Yeah, it's crazy how much I've been confined to a small hospital bed for most of my teenage years. And with that, my parents have literally been by my side. I have had amazing nurses that I've still kept up with to this day. If you don't have that amazing support staff, it's definitely a tougher battle. It's definitely one that could still be won. But I mean, it made my job easier because I didn't have to worry about a lot of the other stuff on how am I going to get my meal? How am I going to do this? No. My parents were like, we got this. Make sure you focus on fighting the battle, and we'll get all the other stuff done so that then you can have an ease of mind so that then you can just focus on staying healthy and battling this. So yeah, no, a support staff is almost everything, really. I mean, without my parents, I don't know if I would be as far off as I was and meeting with doctors, and especially Dr. Flores is an amazing character, and just being with him and honestly just being cheered up honestly helped my health almost as much as the chemo killing the cancer. I mean, just being there and having fun, we would do magic tricks with me and Dr. Flores, and just, you know, and that's help is having fun with me, because what am I going to do? I don't have the energy to get out of bed. I can just only watch TV for so long. And so doing like magic tricks or little board games with the nurses, or I would have friends and family come visit me. And it's just, that just means the absolute world.
He's Ethan Hughes, cancer survivor, diagnosed with leukemia at age 16. Your passion is motocross.
Yes, it is.
Was that maybe a goal that you put out in front of you while you were going through the chemo and all of this trauma and this up and down, you know, cause one day it's positive news, the next day it might go the other direction a little bit.
Yeah. And to fill you in more on right before, about 2 months before I got diagnosed, I actually was one spot out of qualifying for the national championship. And I was pretty distraught. And then a couple months later, I'm diagnosed and I'm like, that dream's done. I will never qualify. I don't know what's going to happen. And then I really didn't think about motocross much in the first 9 months because that was intense treatment. I was just focusing. I remember the last bit of those 9 months. I was just like, I hope I wake up the next day. I mean, it was tough. But then we start getting to the maintenance, and that's still, it's still a tough battle, but it's definitely one where you're slowly regaining your strength. And so I would go to Texas Children's on a monthly basis to receive chemo in those times after the 9 months. So the first 9 months is, to break it down, is weekly treatments. And sometimes I'll be in the hospital 4 weeks at a time. Sometimes I would just go once a week. It just depended on what the plan was at during those times. And then after those 9 months, I had about 2 years of just going once a month where I would receive chemo. I would still take daily oral chemo pills, weren't as strong, but then I would go in for the potent stuff. During those 2 years of maintenance, I definitely started to slowly regain strength, and the thought of riding again definitely kind of peeked through, and it's like, okay, well, and I'd almost kind of shut it out a little bit because I was like, okay, I don't know how realistic it is. I don't want to get my hopes up high. And then I started riding my bicycle around, and I was like, okay, I can ride my bike. I have enough strength to ride my bicycle. And it's like, well, how far can I go on the bicycle? All right, we did 1 mile today. Let's do 2 miles tomorrow. Let's do 3 miles. Now I'm doing a 10-mile bike ride. Okay. All right. Well, if I can do this, then how much harder could it be to race motocross again? And so then just that mindset of, okay, not to do the full battle in one day, but let's see what the next milestone is going to be. And then actually during the last bit of maintenance, I was talking to one of my doctors, and they were like, hey, is racing something you want to do again? I was like, yes, I didn't know this was an option. They're like, okay, we're going to get rid of your port. And so they got surgery to take out my port. So essentially I had a port right here on my left side of my chest that's where they would inject the chemo in, because you can only do IV so many times. And so they got rid of that, and they're like, all right, if you have enough strength, you're able to go. We're letting you loose. And so at that point, I mean, I just set sail, and I was like, okay, before I got, you know, diagnosed with leukemia, my goal is to make the amateur motocross championship, and that's not going to change, and I'm going to still fight. Now, I did try 1 year and didn't make it that year, but then the next following year, I was like, okay, we're going to do it. And I was able to qualify and race in that race. And it was just a surreal moment after everything I've been through, and to go through the fights, being on the hospital bed, almost just like it's this distant dream. And then now to captivate it was just unreal and amazing.
And that was 2022. So that was pretty recent.
Yes, it was.
Incredible story. And, you know, your perseverance and everything is just pretty remarkable, Ethan. I've noticed in all my years visiting cancer patients, there seems to be an accelerated maturity and a very different outlook. A lot of times they seem far more mature, obviously, because I assume what they're going through. But can you add anything to that observation that I've had?
Yeah, I think that's definitely an interesting thought. I think you honestly have to mature quicker because you know that your life circumstances are just a little more serious. You don't lose that joy in a sense of that. Like when I was 16, I still had that, you know, teenager joy, but also at the same time, it's like, well, this is still a serious matter. And sometimes that'll just, you know, accelerate that process of, okay, I understand that this can turn south. I still think that things are going to end in the high, but you also have that sense of, okay, how can I make the most of right now? Because then, I mean, when I was first misdiagnosed as having bone cancer, I mean, understanding that 5 years is probably a likely outhood, I mean, that just changes your perspective. And I'm sure for a lot of these kids and me included, it's like, all right, what is it makes to tomorrow a lot more important? Because if you make tomorrow, then you have to make the most of it. And I think with that different mindset, I'm sure plays a part.
Ethan, this may be a sensitive question, but I think I want to ask it because I feel comfortable asking it. And I also think that this is a good one for people to hear your response to. So let me just put this at you. Is the thought of cancer totally extracted from your mind now?
It creeps up here and there. I definitely have, you know, I have faith that it won't happen again, but I definitely remember in the middle of the intense treatment, I remember going to my mom being like, if this happens again, I don't know if I could go through it again. Like I fought this hard. Now looking back, it would be devastating. It really would, but I don't think I would lose any of my mentality, and it creeps in. It does. And I have a special case. So ALL leukemia is a very common subgroup of leukemia, but I have hyplodiploid, which means that the chromosomes of that leukemia is off by a couple numbers, which means that I am a little higher risk. So in that point, it definitely, it creeps in. It does. I wouldn't say it's not fully not, but definitely more of, if I have kind of a bone ache in the morning, it's like, all right, am I good? And then, but also too, I'm still going back to Texas Children's and getting scanned every 3 to 6 months. So still that reassures, but I think I just have such an amazing sports staff and just the care that I have. And honestly, we know how to fight it and how to treat it. And so I think if it did come back again, I think we would be ready to fight. I would know what my expectations were and I know exactly what it is. And yes, it would be extremely, extremely tough, but I think I would just have to trust in God that that's his plan. And we're just going to have to fight it again. But hopefully that is totally behind us. And I would say that my mindset is definitely that is behind us and we have conquered that. But again, too, with life throws you obstacles, and that might be the obstacle thrown at me, or there might be something else. I don't know. But nonetheless, my mentality doesn't change.
Ethan Hughes joining us. By the way, Ethan has spoken at these Kick Cancer soccer clinics. He's an amazing speaker, as we're learning here in this interview, obviously, but very eloquent speaker, a tremendous wordsmith. But his story is amazing, and the way he's presenting it is amazing. Times are pretty good. You've been married 2 months now to Kylie. So tell me what married life is like.
Married life is amazing. It's just, I was just a crying little, like a little husband on the, while she was walking down the aisle. And it's just been just an amazing journey, just knowing her for this long. And she's known me from the maintenance phase and kind of knew me as, okay, this is this kid who had cancer. And then coming from that, and then, oh, well, he kind of has a nice personality. I kind of like him. And then now here we are. It's been an amazing journey. And it's just, honestly, just I'm with my best friend. I mean, she is genuinely just my best friend. And I think it was really emotional for my family just seeing that I was able to have a wedding, because that was an idea on, well, is he going to, for my parents' sake and for my siblings' sake, is like, are we going to see my son? Are we going to see my brother actually have the chance to live out his life? And that's what I'm doing. I'm just living. I mean, ever since I've been chemo free, it's just been, all right, head charge. Let's take life with the taking life down by the horns, you know, and just trying to conquer everything and love life. And yeah, I mean, the wedding was spectacular. The honeymoon was amazing. We went to Puerto Rico. Shout out to Dr. Flores. But yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And just having her with me is someone that is just, I love living life with her, honestly.
Well, Ethan, this has been spectacular, and I know a lot of people are going to really take this to heart, this interview. Thank you very much for doing it. We appreciate it, as always. Credible young man. More success for you is on the horizon. We all know that. So thanks for joining me.
Yes, of course. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk.
All right. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Before we go tonight, I do want to remind you of a great soccer watching spot. And I think the Copa America, if you don't go to the game, this is one place to watch it, along with Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Did you ever want to experience the closest thing to a live match? If you do, it's Pitch 25, the largest soccer beer garden in Houston. That's the place for you. Over 70 screens, 100 beers on tap, indoor soccer field. Pitch 25, the ultimate fan destination for Copa America, the Euros, lest we forget them this summer, and then, of course, World Cup qualifying. Head over to 2120 Walker in Edo. It's in the shadows of Shell Energy Stadium. Houston's go-to soccer bar is Pitch 25. All right, podcast to this show at Spotify, Apple, and Google. You can get it right here on ESPN 975. Don't forget, head over to our YouTube page and register Soccer Matters, subscribe, and of course hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. All the feedback, all the questions, all the opinion that you bring, along with all these likes and hits, it means a difference in keeping this on the air. That'll do it tonight for me. Remember, join me Wednesday. Diana Ordonez of the Houston Dash will be on that show as well. That'll do it. Until Wednesday night at 6 Central Time, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.